Let us pray. Loving God, we don't like to hear passages of unquenchable fire and devouring, and yet those are your words to us today. And we pray that we may not shirk from them, but hear your truth to us as individuals and as a church. Help us to be open to the spirit of your words, to the truth of your words, that our lives may become conformed to yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I was growing up, one of my favorite Christmas carols, and I think my minister of the church that I grew up in loved it because we sang it every year. And it was sung during this time, but we didn't really celebrate Advent back then. But my favorite hymn or carol was, "There's a Song in the Air." In fact, it's in the red hymnal. The first verse says, "There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. And the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing, for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king." I think I liked it because the imagery was different than most Christmas carols. Yes, it had the baby's cry and the mother's love and all of that. But it speaks of stars raining fire. The third verse is just as wonderful. "In the light of that star lie the ages imperiled, and that song from afar has swept over the world. Every hearth is aflame, and the beautiful sing in the homes of the nations that Jesus is King." This birth, this season, has cosmic implications. That's the words, what the words of that carol say to me. There's something different in the air. It's a perfect complement to our gospel passage from John and from our Isaiah passage. John is out in the wilderness, dressed in camel furs, eating locusts and honey. And people are flocking to hear this dude. I mean, even then, I have to believe that John was considered to be a little strange. But what they are flocking to hear is not some new age, kind of smooth, love everybody type of thing. What they're flocking to hear is this man, John, saying, "Repent! The kingdom of heaven is near." And then the religious leaders begin to come out and get baptized. And he gets even more strident. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able to raise ancestors from these very stones." This is what people were coming out to hear. Not because I think they were gluttons for punishment, but because they detected something new in it. There was a new voice. There was a new urgency. This wasn't something that you could easily change, but this was starting at the roots. If you want to transform something, you have to begin with the roots. I've got this tree beside my house. Twice I've cut off all the branches and I've drilled holes in the stump and I put in this stuff that you're supposed to put in and it'll supposedly rot out the roots and everything. Still growing. It says also you're supposed to, when you put this stuff in, you're supposed to put kerosene on it and burn it, but kind of right next to my house. I don't think I want to do that. What John is saying, this is not something you can just make a few cosmetic changes. This is something new. This was a challenge to the people to work for transformation and not just change. I'm sure the people who listened to him, especially for those who felt that they had not received justice, were thinking, yes, this is what I've been waiting to hear. This is a faith I can believe in. It's a radical change. You cannot keep doing the same old things expecting different results. I think what John did and what the prophet Isaiah did was put out a call and said, stop domesticating your religion. Stop domesticating God to make God some nice little fuzzy feeling for you. John was calling the people to detect something new in the air. He was challenging them and us to really think about what God wants to find when God comes, when the Son comes. But it comes at a price. The Catholic writer, Father Andrew Greeley, tells a story about the price of that transformation. He said, once there was a man who was a bit of a bum, talented and successful, but he neglected his wife and his children, his work and his friends, his community and his colleagues. He drank too much, lost his temper too often, was cruel too many times. And then one day, he had a tremendous religious experience and was transformed totally. He became a good and loving husband, a generous and sympathetic father, a diligent and creative worker, a loyal friend, a dedicated member of the community. He was sober, kind, patient, and gentle. At first, everyone rejoiced in the change. They said they had known all along that he was a good man. But then, they realized, these changes are for real. And that to continue their relationship with him, they would have to change too. He lost his wife, his family, his job, and his friends. He went back to being a bum and got everything back. But then he had another religious experience and once more became a new man. What do you think happened after that? Transformation means new and different relationships with each other, with God, with different ways of being. People have trouble with that. Yet, if the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the birth of God's Son into humanity, is to have any meaning at all, then that's the way it has to be. Otherwise, the changes are just little small cosmetic ones that change with the whims of time. Last Tuesday at our adult ed class, I shared with the people that were there, as we were talking about reclaiming Christmas. I said, every year, my mother used to say about our family Christmas celebration, we're in a rut. We need to change things. We need to do something different. Next Christmas would come. Not much changed. We're in a rut. We need to change things. We need to do things different. It went on year after year after year. After a while, we got to expect I know, Mom, we're in a rut. We did the same thing every year. Transformation takes effort and work. It takes starting from the roots. And John reminds us, though, it's imperative that we attempt to allow ourselves to be transformed. The world needs people who will speak truth to power. We need to change. Things cannot continue as they have. I think all we have to do is watch the news and we realize that. Many of the systems of our society are broken. And they need to be radically altered. We gain the vision and the power for that alteration by realizing the birth that we are looking forward to celebrate. Now, next week we will hear that John has some problems about how Jesus is presenting himself to the world. But for today, John is telling us that we need to be radicals. We need to work to create something different, something more just, more godlike. It's not easy, but it does create hope. And it can create a wonderful new melody for the world to hear. John was announcing a cosmic shakeup that was about to come. This was not your quiet, established religion anymore. This was about ushering in a new hope, a new urgency for all of God's children. Can you hear the song? Will you sing its melody? Try it. Maybe you'll hear some angels sing on Christmas Eve. Amen.